back to the show. Final hour of the week already. It is Friday. Glad you could be with us here, Hooligans. I'm Brady Hull, joined as always by Colfax on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Our First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number. Again, hitting some news earlier from the last segment, actually, some breaking news that's not quite news just yet, but we're told and we're seeing it now. You've probably seen it. Parker police have confirmed that Von Miller is under investigation right now. We don't know what's going on, but we do know that they're investigating him. They have not said whether or not they've determined if it's a crime or if there hasn't been a crime that's occurred, but they will submit the case to the DA's office if a crime has occurred. So it's all the information that we have. That's it. So, boy. This is a difficult task already. George Payton is, we already talked about how big of a move this was going to be one way or the other. Now it could either be an extremely easy decision or it could get a little more convoluted here, depending on what's going on. What a story. I mean, I don't know where it's going to go, but my first thought in the commercial break, Colfax, I'm like, wow, if this is something major, or something big enough to make it easy for the Broncos to move on, wouldn't that just be a terrible ending? I mean, we're talking about a Ring of Famer. We're talking about a Hall of Famer. We're talking about Von freaking Miller. And if something like this happens, and this is what really... Listen, he might have been gone anyway. In fact, it kind of felt like he was going to be gone anyway. But if this is kind of what, you know, the last straw or whatever, or just makes the decision... Other than being a financial thing, you factor this into that decision where we ultimately walk away and go, well, that kind of killed any idea of a deal happening. That would be a pretty tough way to go out. Pretty tough. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Last night, the UNC Bears took care of Idaho. They're now 6-6 and needed to win that game. Had to find a way to do it. They did. It was kind of a sloppy game in the first half. You heard it here on 1310 KFK. The Bears were up 6, but, you know, you want them to take down a team like this. You know, Idaho yet to win a game. You know, so you're looking for the Bears to use this game as a confidence builder. But, you know, we talk about trap games with good teams, you know, and they go against a really bad team. Okay. Well, sometimes trap games can go against you. If you're kind of a middle of the road team like UNC, you're just starving for a victory and you think, all right, this is the night we do it. That can kind of be an interesting trap situation too. But the Bears outscored the Vandals 44-30 in the second half, thanks in large part to Matt Johnson, who's really come on strong the last 2 weeks. He had 18 points, 3 boards and 2 assists. 6 for 10 from the field and 4 for 7 from the three-point line. They were hitting threes, man. 12 of 24, they shot 50% from the three-point line. You do that, you're gonna find ways to win basketball games. So we'll see. The Bears go back at it against Idaho tomorrow afternoon right here on 1310 KFK. That hopefully is another victory. Gets the Bears back over that 500 mark and gets them to 500 in the conference. Our Power to Play Sports poll question. Colorado State now 9-2 on the season. Since they've been in the WAC or Mountain West, now they're in the Mountain West, of course, it's their best start. So, to me, yeah, it's worth asking the question. Are we seeing the best Colorado State men's basketball team in their history? Again, 9-2. Several games to go, several big games to go, and they're not... Listen, how many games are left? Let's see, they got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So, yeah, they could get to the end of the 20s for sure. And we'll see how many of those games actually still happen, depending on how the COVID situation goes. But that's our poll question. Go answer at thehullshow.com and vote. Most of the Hooligans, though, about 70%, are saying no. No, there's about 4 or 5 teams we like better than what we're seeing with the Rams. But I did ask Kevin Lytle on the Fort Collins Coloradoan, if he would, you know, what would it take? Winning a regular season title? What would that look like? So this is going to be, it's going to be interesting. And maybe they win a regular season championship. Maybe they win in the tournament. They go to the tournament, the March Madness. They win a game. Who knows? But listen, I think it's a pretty good team. Are they a special team? I guess time will tell. Because they have some big games coming up. What else do we have? Okay, NFL, Colfax. We'll get into this a little bit later on in the second segment. But just touching base here. Big matchups going on. I'll give you my official picks later on. You got the young guys going at it. You know, that old from that draft with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. I was asked today, I was on with Tanner Schwinn of NoCo Now, and he asked me if the Ravens had it all to do over again and they actually were in front of the Bills for some reason, would they have taken Josh Allen? No. I mean, they like their setup. This is a team that's saying they're achieving just as much as the Bills at this stage. So I think Lamar Jackson's the most entertaining football player in the NFL. Is he the best quarterback? No. But he's the most entertaining, and he's certainly one of the better players in the league. He has a lot to prove, though. Can he win in the playoffs? Well, he took care of that. Well, now it's going to be colder going up against the Bills. Can he win in the cold? Can he throw in the cold? That's going to be a big thing, too. So I'm looking forward to that. You have other young guys, Baker Mayfield, Patrick Mahomes. They have a history together at Texas Tech. I mean, so I was watching Good Morning Football this morning, and they brought up the fact that, you know, well before Mahomes committed to Texas Tech, he was touring, and Baker Mayfield bought him some steak, and they played video games. And then you all know the history with Texas Tech. I mean, Baker was the guy. He claimed there was a miscommunication later in his career, which is why he transferred to OU. And then he they played each other in a crazy, crazy game in 2016. Baker Mayfield's Sooners taking on Texas Tech and Patrick Mahomes. That game, both teams had 854 yards offensively. Can you believe that? Baker Mayfield threw for 545 yards, and Mahomes, I think, set the record at that point, 734 yards. So they were throwing it up and down the yard, 66-59. Oklahoma wins. Baker wins that game. So a history there, and man, coming full circle. Think the Browns can do it? I mean, the Chiefs are, 9.5-point favorites in this one. It's the biggest spread of the weekend. Boy, I keep going back and forth on this. I know you feel pretty strong about... Have you changed your mind? You have until Friday. You have until Friday to make these picks, Colfax.
Well, it's Friday.
Yeah.
I just really want to see the Browns win. But
you do? Okay, yeah, because you hate the Chiefs.
I do. I really dislike them. Hate is a strong word. Sports hate, I guess.
Sports hate.
Yeah, I hate the Chiefs. I'd like to see the Browns win. I think I said earlier in the week that I think the Chiefs would cover. I'm going to change that. Chiefs still win, but they don't cover the spread.
So you think it's going to be a little tighter?
I think it'll be a tighter game.
A little tighter football game. Okay. I'll give you my picks in the when are we doing that? We're going to do it next segment. We're going to get to that next segment.
Yeah, yeah.
Either way, man, look at the storylines in these games, though. I mean, Chiefs are interesting, too, or the Browns are interesting, because they're getting their corners all fully healthy, too. Denzel Ward, Kevin Johnson, so that's going to provide something interesting for Patrick Mahomes. Might make this a close game. Then you look at, so we're talking about all these young guys going up against each other. look at the Bucks and the Saints. So Drew Brees has the series so far against Tom Brady. Not many people get to say that they're up on Tom Brady. But you go all the way back, check this out. Well, so when Brady was with Michigan, this was in 1999. October 2nd, 1999, Michigan beat Drew Brees and Purdue 38-12. Check this out. Their right tackle, Tristan Wirfs, was their first round pick, was 8 months old for that 1999 Michigan-Purdue game. The guy that's protecting Tom Brady on that right side was just a little baby when that first game was happening. So, okay, Tom Brady wins in college. Then Drew Brees gets him back in 2002. Drew Brees is a Charger. Chargers win 21-14. In 2005, Chargers beat the Pats 41-17. And then, so Colfax, you were asking if they'd ever played each other in the playoffs. So it looks like no. Those were just regular season games. And then obviously Drew Brees headed for NFC waters. And the Saints won on 2009, 38-17. And then the Patriots bounced back the next 2 years, 13-17. They beat the Saints 30-27 and 36-20. And then, of course, in 2020, the Saints won both of those games against the Bucs, 34-23 and 38-3. So, yeah, the Bucs, that was a rough one for Tampa Bay. You know, we always say it's hard to beat a team three times. Can you do it? So that's going to be up against the Saints. Tampa Bay's defense is good. Drew Brees has been okay since the injury, but I don't know if he's... You know, we're getting close to never seeing this matchup again. It could be one of them, maybe. I mean, it just depends on what Drew Brees wants to do. Let's get to picks coming up next. We'll go through the full gamut, the full docket this weekend. It was such a busy night last night, Thursday night. I said, what could ever top that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe we get them all back in action again this weekend. Plus, you have NFL playoffs. 16 minutes after the hour. This is the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy. I'll give you my picks. I went 3-3 last week, so I've got to go over 500 here to make something of my life here when it comes to playoff picks. We'll get your picks too if you want to text the show. 970-478-1301. We'll be right back.
When it starts, we'll be ready. High school basketball in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Gonna be a great weekend. I mean, I was asked today, like, which game rises to the top as far as the NFL playoffs go, this divisional round, and my goodness, Colfax, I can't pick. I guess I could pick maybe the one that's least interesting to me, and that's really because I don't know the quarterback situation for the Rams. Rams, Packers, maybe the least interesting, but Jalen Ramsey, Davante Adams, give me that matchup all day long. So, I mean, it's probably unfair to say that that's the least interesting. But let's get into it, Colfax, shall we? We're going to go through some picks this weekend. Last week, I go 3-3. And, you know, I felt really good about everything. I thought maybe, you know, the Titans were going to make a comeback against the Ravens. Maybe we're going to see the Steelers not punt. With 8 minutes left, down two scores, 4th and 1. I mean, come on. But, all right, we go 3-3, 500 record. I'll take it. I can make it all up here this weekend. Then we'll get back at it for next weekend. We'll get into championship weekend. So I'm confident we'll bounce back. Let's look at the Rams, Packers. I mean, come on. I don't know what the Rams situation looks like at quarterback. I'm guessing they're going to go Goff because he got him there last week, but he's throwing with four fingers, man. His thumb is messed up. Even so, I don't know how good I'm feeling about the Rams. You got Sean McVay going up against his old offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur. And I'm going to go with Matt LaFleur. I like the Packers. I like the Packers to cover this spread, actually. It's 6.5. So I like the Packers to win by the touchdown and the extra point. So give me the Packers in that one. Aaron Rodgers goes off. Davante Adams versus Jalen Ramsey. As much as I root for the corners all the time, I think Davante Adams proves, without a shadow of a doubt, that he is the best receiver in all of the NFL. Moving on. We're staying on Saturday. Ravens-Bills. Maybe this is the one for me. that kind of rises to the top. Maybe. Just a little bit. It's going to be cold. 37 degrees. Kind of cold, right? 37 degrees. Chance of snow there. Is that going to affect Lamar Jackson? He's entertaining. He's unorthodox. He's unlike any quarterback we've ever seen. He's not even really comparable to Michael Vick, in my opinion. You have Josh Allen, who was taken at 7 that draft year. You have Lamar Jackson, who was taken last by the Ravens. Both finding their way. It just kind of goes to show you that sometimes it doesn't really matter where you're taken. Just as long as you're taken. You have the Bills and the Ravens going at it here. The Bills are favored by 2.5 points. I seriously gone back and forth on this one. I mean, it just depends on the highlight films that I'm watching. It just depends on the footage that I'm watching. Because I'm watching Bills stuff this morning and I'm going, yeah, Josh Allen, it's a special year. I mean, this team just does so many different things right. And Stephon Diggs, man, he's a monster. Then I watch stuff on the Ravens. I'm thinking they can get this run game going. They can milk some clock. They can control this game. I like the Ravens to win this game. I like Baltimore to win this bad boy. Ravens-Titans, that was my favorite game last week, and I hated it and loved it all at the same time because I didn't want to see either one of those teams lose. But Ravens shut down one of the best running backs, or the best running back in the game, hands down. No one of. And so I think they can put a lot of pressure on Josh Allen. I like the Ravens in this one. Moving on, Sunday, January 17th, Browns-Chiefs. Chiefs are now favored by 10 in this one. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Baker Mayfield. Now the Browns are getting some cornerback help. And, of course, their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, will be back on the sidelines. I mean, they won without him there. I mean, you can find ways to do it for one game. You ultimately need your coach on the sidelines more often than not. But, you know, you prepare your game plan, and the Steelers were fizzling. So they caught him at the right time. This is a Chiefs team. They're that ornery cat that keeps bringing in this live mouse, and they just keep messing with it. And you're like, stop it. Stop it, Kansas City. That's gross. You're getting blood all over the place, and it's not even dead. I feel like the Chiefs are finally done with that, and they're starving. And now they're like, we haven't played in a week. We're getting a lot of trash talk. We're hearing that Odell Beckham Jr. says, don't be surprised if the Browns pull off the upset. Mahomes likes that tweet. That's just a Mahomes thing to do, man. I think the Chiefs go off this weekend. I know you think the Chiefs win, Colfax, but you think the Browns cover the 10-point spread, which is reasonable. It's 10-point spread. That's crazy, especially in the second round of the playoffs. I like the Chiefs to go flat out off, cover the spread, win this game. Sunday night, well, Sunday late afternoon, Buccaneers and Saints. I mean, look at these young quarterbacks that we're talking about. Yeah, other than Aaron Rodgers and Goff's kind of a tweener. But you're talking Baker. You're talking Pat. You're talking Josh. You're talking Lamar. Tom Brady and Drew Brees are just there all the time, man. You can just always count on Tommy B and Drewy B. I don't know. Tom's had an okay year. You know, everybody, Father Time is kind of knocking on his door. The critics are after him. Every mistake he makes, people are ready for Tom Brady to leave. They're ready for him to go. Saints, they found ways to stay afloat even when Drew Brees was out. So this is a damn good football team. Saints are favored by 3 points. For my final pick of the weekend, I like the Bucs to pull off the minor upset. I think Tampa Bay wins this game, and Tommy B and the rest of this, that great defense, I love that defense, they move on and they get to the NFC Championship game. Going to be fun. How's my aim? Your thoughts on it? Text us at our First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301, 478-1301. It's going to be fun, man. You have a lot of great, you have all the colleges are back at it tomorrow, too, as far as Colorado State, and UNC. You got the Avs going tonight, and then all weekend NFL playoffs. It doesn't get much better than that, man. So tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. I want to talk some Mountain West basketball with Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network. Are they as good as some of these records look? Let's ask him when we come back. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
What a coincidence. Wow. We're going to have, right now, Jesse Kurtz of that Mountain West Network joining us. Jesse, it's been a little while, my friend. Appreciate you jumping on with us.
Yeah, of course, man. I thought maybe you lost my number. I made you mad. I mean, I thought we were friends, my man.
You know what, man? You are the busiest guy in the world, so I didn't want to bug you. I don't want to be that annoying little cousin, you know, at your ankles all the time. But, man, we got to talk about this conference here. There's some big games coming up this weekend, and wanted to get you on just to get your thoughts on this basketball conference. I mean, some big games happened already last night, man. I mean, it was jam-packed.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a good start, all things considered, obviously, with all the challenges that everyone has had to jump over and jump through, all the hurdles. To have a basketball season that's off and running is a huge win. But then to have, four teams that are really playing at an NCAA tournament level, and then two of them, showcasing last night with Utah State and San Diego State, and Nico Medved has the Rams rolling, so it's been a really, really fun and successful start to the season, no question about it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to get your thoughts on, too. This is always an interesting time, We're a few games in, depending on the team. They're all kind of staggered, depending on how many conference games you've played. But we're starting to separate a little bit, because you look at the non-conference schedule, sometimes it can be harder, sometimes it can be a little bit easier for some of these teams. Once we get into conference play, we start to separate a little bit. But you still, either way, you still have Boise State sitting at the top, Utah State there with that, as you mentioned, that monster game last night. The Rams are in third, San Diego State. So talk to us a little about these top four at this stage. Boise State first. Are they the real deal?
Oh, absolutely. And, at the start of the year, there was a silent group, but a very informed group that thought that maybe Boise State was going to be the best team in the league. I mean, San Diego State, obviously was special last year, and they're special this year. But with what Leon Rice had coming back, and Derek Alston, and then a couple of transfers from the University of Arizona that became eligible to play, there was a lot of people that thought that maybe Boise State was going to be the class of the league. You just didn't know how the chemistry was going to work with some of the new guys. But, they've come out and really played well. That opening the opener to the season against Houston was a little bit disappointing, but Houston's an excellent team. They're a top 15 team, 17th in the country. And to go down there, they lost by 10. You said, maybe Boise State isn't the team. Well, now they've rattled off 12 in a row, and they look really good. They beat BYU, which is a signature win on the year. But, they've got some tough games coming up. We're going to really find out. Boise State still has a couple in Fort Collins coming up. They still have Utah State and San Diego State to close the season. So you look at the way they closed the season with four straight against Utah State and San Diego State, that's really where they'll find out where they fit in the mix. But what a start to the season for Leon Rice and company at 12-1.
Yeah, and I love that you bring up the Houston game too, because that's your blemish. I mean, if that's going to be your blemish, I think you're going to take that, like you said, a top ranked team there, and maybe disappointing, but still not a blowout or anything like that. So other than that, it's been pretty perfect for these Broncos.
Yeah, and something tells me if Boise State and Houston met again, game would be a lot closer. If memory serves, Derek Alston maybe didn't score in that game. I'd have to go back and look at the box score. He was held in check, and since then, Alston has been, every bit of the all-conference level player that he earned in the preseason poll. So, when your top player and arguably one of the top three players in the league doesn't really contribute, and you only lose by 10 on the road against a top-ranked team, I think you'd like your chances in a rematch. So I'd love to see that game again. You know, the only way we get that, obviously, would be in the NCAA tournament. But Boise State has figured out a lot. That chemistry is working. And Leon Rice has this team really rolling towards the tournament bid.
Jesse Kurtz joining us from the Mountain West Network. And take us back, because Colorado State's in the midst of a San Jose State series here. They run the game last night. It's great. But I think Nico Medved's saying, hey, before we celebrate victory number two against this team, we need to go back and look at Boise State, because they stomped San Jose State 106-54, and then two nights later, whenever it was, 87-86. They still win. But what was that, Jesse? Was that more or less a Broncos team maybe getting caught in one of those trap game situations?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, really, the folks inside the program that could really correctly identify that. But I will tell you, and the coaches talked about this when the schedule was released, there was going to be a challenge in facing a team in back-to-back games. And if you beat a team in the opener, you know, They have something tangible immediately. They can go identify places where you struggled, where you had some successes, and then you can retool right away. And the coaches all identified that as a unique part to this season, something that they hadn't quite thought through the ramifications of that decision. I think that's one of them, is a team that may get blown out sees real quick where the missteps were, and they can retool. I mean, you know, look at what happened with Colorado State and San Diego State.
Yeah.
You know, Colorado State plays an unbelievable game in that second half and comes back from 26 points down, and then San Diego State immediately retools and you know, is in control in game two. So these back-to-back games, it's kind of fun. It's unique. I'm not sure that we go back to this ever again. Maybe we do. Maybe the coaches will like it. But it does provide an interesting little twist where that immediate feedback – you know, the good coaches will put that to use and look like a different team in those back-to-back games. And we've seen that multiple times this season, including the Spartans. So no question about it, Nico Medved has probably brought that up to his team, that the mission down here in Phoenix is not done, despite a 33-point win.
Yeah, I love that point, too, just about the adjustments that teams can make, whether you're at the bottom of the barrel or the top of the top in the conference. As a fan, Jesse, I really like it. It has the mini NBA playoffs feel to it, and I love the NBA playoffs, so I like it. I like seeing how teams respond the next night after a loss or what have you, but are you getting any kind of indication that might be something in the future to look forward to, or is this just, you know, we're taking this and that's just going to be the one-off? We're not going to do much of this.
Yeah, I don't know that it's been talked about, not that I've heard of, at least at that level. I'm sure it might be on the table. How did you like it? Would we move forward with it? But I would suspect that it goes back to, you know, where you make a Southern California swing, you make a Nevada swing, predominantly because, you know, you want some of these teams coming into your house. You know, you'd love to have, you know, in Fort Collins, you'd love to have San Diego State coming to Fort Collins at least for one game, because it's a national draw. You don't want to have to play the Aztecs twice in San Diego, because, you know, people want to see the Aztecs, and you want a chance to show off your team against a top, you know, 10, a top 25 team year in and year out in your house. So that would be the challenge in making sure that you get the favor return and they come back to your place. But you're in a unique year, unique circumstances. It's kind of been a fun twist, to your point.
Yeah, no question. All right, let's move down just a little bit to Utah State. They get the win over San Diego State 57-45, a huge moment for them. And then, of course, they'll finish that series. I believe that's going to be some morning basketball anyway. Talk to us a bit about Utah State.
Yeah, here's one of the big surprises of this season, and not that Utah State is good by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, gosh, the two-time tournament winner. they've got, in my opinion, one of the top coaches in the country. You know, Craig Smith from that Tim Miles coaching tree from when Tim Miles was at Colorado State really produced a lot of great young coaches who are having tremendous success right now, Nico Medved and Craig Smith being two of those guys. But you know, Craig Smith's a great motivator, and those guys love playing for him, and he has those guys ready, and they have, you know, some guys back from last year. Everyone knows Sam Merrill now with the Bucks, but, you know, Diego Brito gone, Abel Porter also gone. So they lost a core three that you said, man, are they going to be able to continue to do what they've done when not only have they lost key players, but guys that have played together since their AAU days? I mean, Abel Porter and Sam Merrill played together like when they were 10 years old, and you know they made this huge path to Utah State together, and it showed. They had great chemistry. So you lose those guys, and all of a sudden you put a lot on the Brock Millers, the Justin Beans, and of course Namias Keita, and this team is darn good, and they are really good defensively. You got a rim protector in Namias Keita, who is as good underneath the basket as anybody, but he gets out and runs the floor. They've got some great shooters in Brock Miller. So this is a very, very good team, and last night being a statement win against San Diego State, unfortunately the Aztecs lost Matt Mitchell, who is a all-conference player, a guy that was, you know, maybe on a collision course to be a player of the year candidate, heard today that it's a knee injury. Not sure how significant, but he'll miss this weekend's game, apparently. So that's huge, but it doesn't take away from what Utah State did, because they were going to win that game going away whether Matt Mitchell was healthy or not, and it happened late in the game. So, you know, Craig Smith is as good as it comes in college basketball, motivating teams, getting them ready, and they showed it the other night against San Diego State.
Yeah, well, we'll keep our eyes on that injury, too, with San Diego State to see what that looks like for the next few games. Because, you know, you mentioned it, Utah State, they were feeling it. That was just a well-put-together game. Another test that I'm looking up, like we said, the Rams have to get through San Jose State tomorrow, which, again, on paper, looks like they should have no problem. But you got to be careful, like you said, especially in these games where you're playing a team back-to-back like that. But the Rams, I want to ask you about this Rams team. They'll be done with the San Jose State series tomorrow, and then it's Utah State, then it's Boise State, then it's Wyoming. We're going to find out a lot about this version of Nico Medved's Colorado State Rams.
Yeah, if they're able to get through, you know, the next four games after they return home from Phoenix, you know, you split there. Geez, you go 3-1. That would be a huge, huge win, and that's asking a lot when you have to go to Logan for back-to-back midweek games on a Tuesday and Thursday, and then you got the team that probably will be leading the league still coming into your house with Boise State. But I'll tell you, this Colorado State team is as fun to watch as you're going to find in the country. The youth that they have and the chemistry that they have built with Isaiah Stevenson and Roddy and Tanjay and Kendall Moore, Deshaun Thomas, like, to do what they're doing right now and win the way they're winning without senior leadership is one of the great wins in the Mountain West this year. And that's credit to the maturity of those guys, one, but the coaching staff to get those guys in a mind frame that, one, we're never out of a game. You know, you're down by 13 against UNLV. You're down by 26 against San Diego State, and you come back against both those teams to win. Oh, by the way, less than a year ago, you do the same thing at Wyoming, down 19, and you come back and win. This team has the mental makeup to take down any team anywhere at any time, and I don't think that there's any reason to think that Colorado State right now is right there in the mix for a at-large tournament berth, in my opinion.
Yeah, Jesse, that's what I was going to ask you next. I mean, what are you thinking here? I mean, some nice records to start for these Mountain West teams, but how many teams do you think get in?
I think right now, if you're asking right now who's in, who's out, I think you got a couple of teams in: Boise State, San Diego State, Utah State, and Colorado State are right there. You've got four teams that, in my opinion, are on the path to the NCAA tournament. Yeah, the Mountain West has all four teams, being Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, and Utah State, in the top 60 of the net rankings, which is as good of a metric as we have. Obviously, there's so many components to these things, but in the top 60, that's tied for the second most of non-autonomous conferences, trailing only the Big East, who has five. So to put yourself in that stratosphere and four of your teams in the top 60, I don't think that there's any reason that all four of those teams should not be at least considered very highly. And obviously, we know how Selection Sunday comes. There's a number of teams that are disappointed.
Yeah.
But this is as good of a top third of the league as we've had since – 2012-13 when five teams got into the NCAA tournament.
No, I hope you're right, man. This would be great for the conference. I love talking Mountain West with you as always. Jesse, we're up against a break, my friend. Appreciate you taking the time and enjoy it, man. Like you said, this is a good year to be a Mountain West Conference fan.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, and much love to the people of Northern Colorado, my man.
We'll talk to you soon. Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network. It says maybe four teams potentially get in there. That would bode well for Colorado State. It would also bode well for our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Will this Rams team be the best one in its history? Well, if they can make it to the big dance, you got to have the debate. And Jesse's thinking maybe so. All right, we'll take a quick break. Colfax, I want your picks coming back here, so be ready for it. We're gonna put you to the test. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, Colfax, before I get into your picks here, we do have more information coming from Fox 31. Sources tell Fox 31 that this is all about Von Miller, that the investigation involves domestic violence allegations by his ex-fiance and is being conducted by police in Parker. And again, not a lot of major outlets were reporting on the Twitter battle and the screenshots and all that, which is why I'm not talking about it, because I can't confirm whether those were doctored, whatever. But, you know, you can do your own research and find out on social media. But I didn't see a lot of this Vaughn ex-fiance stuff on any major outlets. And so that's why I didn't really talk about it in this program. You are getting this story today. I don't know if they're connected, but it would sure seem like they're connected some way or the other. Now, we'll see. The investigation will be going here, and we'll have probably more details on it for Monday. 54 minutes after the hour. It has been a busy Friday. Okay, Colfax, I got my picks in.
All right.
What do you got for me, man? Rams-Packers.
Rams-Packers. I'm going Packers. I think that one's the most obvious, and like you said earlier, kind of the least interesting of the games.
Packers cover the spread? Seven?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or I think it's 6.5, so they score 7.
Yeah, they score 7.
Ravens-Bills.
This one's tough. I want the Bills to win, but I think the Ravens take it. I think they'd like some redemption for last year for just getting out a little early. They want to go deep.
I like
year.
It. That's my pick. I like it. Browns-Chiefs.
Browns-Chiefs. This is my favorite game. I think the Chiefs have the most to lose. If the Browns win, there might be some real talk about what happens in that organization. Chiefs win.
Chiefs win. Okay. So Chiefs win. They don't cover.
No, they do not cover.
They don't cover. Okay. And then finally, we get the old men. Tommy B and Drew B.
I'm going Nollins. I think the Bucks just aren't a deep playoff team. I want them to be there. I want Brady to take another Super Bowl. I don't see it happening.
All right, man. There you have it. All right, we're pretty close. I've got the Packers covering, got the Ravens winning. I have the Chiefs covering. That's our difference there. And then I have the Buccaneers winning. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Monday. Don't forget, we have UNC Bears men's basketball coverage starting tomorrow. Right around 11:30 pregame, noon game tip off there. So keep it here, 1310 KFK. Preps action. We'll be back.